One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Be Here for a While. I have a really awesome guest today. He's a comedian, improviser. Yeah, because you're on Mad TV. You're an improviser. Yeah. I consider you somewhat of a singer, too.
Ooh,
yeah,
I'll take that.
Yeah, because you sing in your stand-up.
I do.
An actor. He's been in The Heat, Mad TV. He is coming out with
the season premiere of According to Jim in 2007.
Ooh.
Hold your applause.
That's amazing.
It's still my biggest credit.
Well, Mark told me that you got that you booked your first acting job, and then it was like, now hold on.
Yeah.
A really a long amount of time before you booked something else.
Yeah. Till The Heat.
Till The Heat, really?
That was like
how many
six years
in between? 6 years?
Yeah. 2007, it was like my mom was in town and we were...
I want to say your name real quick. His name's Adam Ray.
Thank you.
He's very handsome as well.
Oh, thank you.
He's wearing a suit. I'm wearing a t-shirt. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, but like you're like, you can make any... Like you're a cute girl, so like you're like,
I'm more than cute, but whatever.
Yeah, you're gorgeous. All right, fishing for comps.
So you did According to Jim in 2007.
And I thought I was like, you know, first of all, According to Jim, like... You know, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Greatest show of all time.
Was it?
No.
I've never seen it.
I was being sarcastic. Jim Belushi, it was the other Belushi, right?
Yeah.
And it was on for 8 seasons.
The one that's not dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people make jokes about that, by the way, which is like really... Yeah. Like, you know, sometimes you see like a certain joke, like everyone's getting on the SNL writer for making fun of Trump's kid. How do you feel about that, by the way, real quick? Tangent, number one.
What about
Baron Trump.
Like having a... Oh, I don't know what about it.
So an SNL writer made some joke about his son.
I'm so bad about knowing things.
That's all right.
What was the joke?
It was something like how many years do we give this to kid? Or he looks like a school shooter or something like.
Oh, I've heard people say that he has like Asperger's or something.
Oh, really?
Is this the youngest one?
Yeah, his name's Baron Trump.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have a fighting chance with that name. He sounds like an asshole.
He does. And it's like...
But he looks like a school shooter. That's not good.
He's a kid.
See, that's not,
you know,
that's
like
not
he
cool.
But there's been all this video footage of him like at the White House and just in the whole presidential experience, like so bored. And like, but I'm like, he's a fucking kid.
He's a kid. Like, he doesn't want to do that.
No. And also, but I think everyone just, you know, puts him in the Trump shitty, the boat of shitty Trumps, you know?
Well, I mean, it is genetics, but...
I think so. Maybe it skipped a generation. I don't know. I would
Maybe
love to...
I hope he ends up being awesome. I hope Baron
Trump
ends up
or
just...
Baron Trump?
Baron.
Yeah.
I hope he ends up just, like, saying fuck his family and then just does something
cool
with his life.
Yeah. And he, like, runs
He gets a reality show.
Where he just, like, spills all the beans.
Yeah.
He could write a great book. Maybe he's just deer diaring it all night.
Maybe. So that's... I didn't know about that. That is a little fucked up.
Yeah.
School shooting thing is kind of fucked up.
It's fucked up. But people would make that joke about Jim Belushi and John Belushi, like, you know, they took the wrong one and stuff. And it's like,
oh, man.
Isn't that fucking...
Oh, that is bad.
God. Like,
now I feel guilty even bringing up that his brother's dead.
No, but I mean, it's like, that's just also like a constant like topic of discussion where it's like, what's too far? Like,
ooh,
you know, I
yeah.
mean, as a comic, like, do you feel like everything's open
no.
for...
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you're like, there's limits.
There are definitely limits, yeah. I mean,
just some
I
people
get
are like, if you can make it funny, if you can make a rape joke funny, then it's comedy. And I'm like...
It depends.
You know.
I mean, I think if you've... I don't know. I was going to say, I think if you've lived through it, but I don't know about rape. But, you know, if you've lived through it and it helps you to make it funny, then that's fine.
Right.
If, like, you know, if you like...
Oh, so if you've been through it, you can make the joke.
I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like it's your little therapy session.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean,
there is an element of, you know, using comedy for like cathartic purposes.
Yeah. I mean, I used to do a bunch of jokes and I've started doing some more about, I used to date a paralyzed guy. And,
did you really?
Yeah.
How paralyzed?
Like wheelchair bound. If it like, for, yeah.
Wait, wheelchair bound or was in a wheelchair?
He's in a wheelchair. Yeah. Like,
how did that
work? He was actually originally a quad. So he was originally like, he had like a C, What is C4, C6?
A C-section, yeah.
No.
Gave a kid out. No. Wait, what?
It's where your spinal cord is injured.
That's even more incredible. The first man to give birth in a wheelchair? I mean, that should be a credit.
It's very sensational. Yeah, so he was originally a quad, but he only had his spinal cord bruised. So he was able to regain his upper body. But when I met him, he was a paraplegic, so from like the waist down. And
now, how does that, and you might have already discussed this many times in your podcast, have you?
No, I don't. Okay. I mean,
I have a handful of questions.
I've mentioned it, but yeah.
Do you, upon your first, like, you know, you see him at where? Like at a bar?
Well,
a charity basketball game? Where was this?
Charity basketball
game. Where do wheelchair, and this is a very valid question. Where do wheelchair people hang out?
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really fucked up.
No, it's not fucked up, because some places are very not...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Wheelchair accessible.
Oh, I would make sure we would go anywhere, though, because we would travel a lot, and we would go to New York, which is all old buildings, so they're not really wheelchair accessible.
And everything's...
If I wanted to go to a nice restaurant that was not wheelchair accessible, I would make fucking people carry him in.
Good for you.
I wanted him to be able to do stuff.
I love that.
Yeah.
You're great like that.
Yeah.
So...
I wasn't carrying him. no, I was like, someone else do this.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I would... help a little.
Wait, so how did you, what conversation transpired to make you go, you know what?
Well, I was doing a documentary on him.
Oh my God.
What a scumbag, right? Sleeping with the talent.
I mean, I doubt he cared.
Yeah, no. Yeah, he
was very pumped.
He's also from Oregon. Adam's from the Northwest too.
Mm-hmm. I'm going there next weekend.
Where?
My dad lives in Salem right now.
Oh, to Salem.
You're from?
Astoria.
That's right.
It's a very small town. The Goonies town.
I know. I was just
about
to say
know
that.
It. Yeah. Okay. It's
all
we have.
About the PNW.
I have to say Goonies every time I say Astoria.
You do. Because it's a great like connection to make.
Yeah.
And also like it gives people some like it just
the reference. Yeah.
It immediately makes them go, oh, you're cool. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think that?
Fuck yeah.
Oh fuck! I'm just
drop
gonna start
it all the time.
All the time. Just introduce myself.
Goonies
to
is one of
like,
the most
the Goonies,
treasured films of all
time. Let me just tell you something about that.
I grew up where it was filmed. Come on.
Yeah. Same with Kindergarten Cop and Free Willy. Keep going.
Free Willy?
Short Circuit.
Kindergarten Cop is one of my favorite movies of all time.
I was in Kindergarten Cop.
No, you weren't. Were you one of the kids in the classroom?
Yeah, but me and my sister were both cast to be in it, but our scenes got cut. But we got paid for it. I was a child star.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Do you have, like, photos like or video?
I do, actually. My parents have photos at home, yeah.
Do they have, like, deleted scenes of you guys? Like,
No,
you didn't even
make
the deleted scenes, did you?
No, definitely.
They're like,
didn't
we deleted
that.
The deleted scenes. They were that
like,
bad.
They were like, that kid's weird. I was weird.
You have to
chubby.
Be weird. Oh my God. You know what? I was a real chubby's an understatement. Big, big kid.
Me too.
And I went out for Matilda because they shot it in Seattle, right? And I remember going for the audition, and they cast like a lot of weird, like fucked up looking kids. And like, I was,
so
you know.
You are a shoo-in.
I mean, I thought so. I was like, how many other fourth graders are wearing their mom's bra? But my mom ever walked out, and I was so bummed that I didn't get a part, but she was like, you know what? You're just too normal looking.
You're too handsome,
yeah,
sweetie.
I mean, a whole bunch of that rhetoric, yeah.
That's awesome. That's all my parents did to me. I didn't even know I was hideous. I thought I was gorgeous.
Were you
a
hideous child?
Hideous.
What did you have going on? Headgear?
No. Well, I was fat. And it genuinely like distorted my face. Like I literally
don't
look the
same.
Cause
you can be fat and cute, you know, like
I wasn't cute.
Yeah.
I had good hair. I mean, I had that going for me.
At least you had that. I didn't
have
that.
Yeah. I had good skin. I was like kind of tan. I had that, but it was huge. And,
what did you wear? What was your go-to fat like accessory?
Didn't know I was fat. I was wearing like
overalls.
Like, no, I was wearing like denim skirts and crop tops. I was
good for you.
Oh yeah. I had more confidence then than I do now. Yeah.
I
tried out for a pageant. I was like, this is the year I'm probably going to win. I had no idea.
Not like a plus size pageant.
No, the regular one.
Of the
Miss America
the
franchise.
Pageant where there's like other 12-year-olds doing the splits and like Paul Abdul routines. Mm-hmm. You're like,
I was a great dancer.
I'm going to eat a gallon of Dreyer's ice cream while I interpretive dance to Ani DiFranco. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, we've never seen that.
Let's give her a shot.
Yeah.
She's got spunk.
Good for you, spunk. What a fat kid term.
No.
Like,
I had
that's
no idea.
Fat kid personality. That's what that means.
I really thought
and
I was.
And then fat kids hear that
gorgeous.
And go, spunk, is that a flavor of ice cream? And you go, you fat fuck.
Yeah. That's what you need as a kid.
Wait, so these pageants, did you ever even get close?
No.
Well, what was the response, by the way, too?
I mean, I was in it. It didn't go well. But
oh
I...
So but was it Little Miss Sunshine?
No, I was like a little bit older when I did it. It was like
This was like a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
God, no.
This is so sad.
No. But I genuinely didn't know I was fat until this kid put a Think Thin magnet on my locker. I was like, that's mean. Also very funny.
Nice, yeah.
I was like, well-placed joke.
Able to find the humor.
Yeah.
But you know what? And I'm sure you were the same way as me. Like you just said, like, mm-hmm. I didn't know I had a problem until people called attention to it. Because I was, you're a kid, you're happy.
Yeah.
You're like, dude.
You're like, you don't eat nachos after school.
Delicious treats
after you
are made to be chowed down on.
Yeah.
The Disney afternoon is on at 3. I also have Pop-Tarts and mac and cheese ready to go.
Yeah, that
you're
sounds like
me
a
I'm
blast.
Not living my life the right way?
Yeah. You're telling me this isn't a good time?
Yeah, thank
just
you.
Because I wasn't blessed with a fast metabolism. That's not my problem.
Not my, yeah. Oops.
You're the one that has to look at this.
Thank you.
Frankly, I'm happy.
Yep. And so then I started to...
How'd you know? How did you know you were fat?
Man, even like pictures you can't like... I just wouldn't... I mean, my grandpa, I guess, kind of threw some shade my way. He was like...
Oh my God, so did mine.
I went to go get, I think it was Seconds, right? At one point, it was my grandparents in Oklahoma. Seconds, man. And I was on my way to like... By the way, going to get Seconds, already eyeing like the food that was open still to be like, and I'll see you in 2 more plates.
Yeah.
And I'll see you at the 4ths. And so my grandpa, I sit down and he just goes, I remember this. I've said this before, so I think this is where it was like, I go, you know what's great? Grandpa's like, we never have to waste food because like, I'll just get Seconds. And he remember there was just a pause and he goes, you know, sometimes you don't need to get Seconds.
Oh.
And like.
That was a lot more subtle than my grandpa's.
It cut deep.
Really?
Like, how old literally was like, had probably spoonful of like mashed potatoes on top of meatloaf on top of something about to go into my
sounds
mouth.
Delicious.
And I literally, thank
sounds
you.
Like a great combo.
I know. I knew what I was doing.
Really?
By the way, fat kids make the best stoners. So like in my fraternity in college, I remember one night. I was one of the kitchen stewards, right? Mm-hmm. So like all the potheads would come. We basically, it was our job every Sunday go to Costco and a few other places and get all the food for the fraternity.
I love Costco. They have samples.
Samples are the best. Somebody just, Mike Young last night goes, have you had the crab legs from Costco? I was like, what the fuck? Mike's so cool. and I was like, samples of crab legs? He goes, no, you buy them, you grill them up. Anyway.
No, I go there just for samples.
Yeah. If you're not getting a sample every time you go to Costco, you're like... Why are you even going?
It's a blast.
Every aisle has a sample on it.
It's so fun. It's like Disneyland.
Even like the automotive aisle. Samples? Let's not brush over that, what you just said. It's like Disneyland, and you meant that, by the way.
I did.
Yeah.
It's so fun. It's better than Disneyland.
That's amazing.
I don't have to deal with people in stupid costumes.
Because you hate crowds.
I don't like any group activity or anything that like a bunch of people are into.
Did you go to Costco solo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love grocery shopping solo. I guess take my time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No pressure, no rush.
Wait, so your grandpa says this to you?
So he goes, yeah, maybe you don't need to get Seconds. And I was like, fuck. And so, but real quick, fact is making the best donors in my fraternity. I went down there, and the potheads would like course me to get into the kitchen. They're like, uh-huh. Man, come on, man. It was like 2 a.m. They'd wake me up, be like, we'll smoke a J real quick if you let me in so I can make an omelet. And like, just when I started smoking pot, and I was just like, I'm all about it. So I was like, fuck yeah, let's go. And then I remember I had bought those Costco muffins and like cookies and ice cream, and I put like a muffin in between, a cookie and then ice cream in between them, and it was like this giant like heart attack sandwich. And I remember I was about to take a bite,
time.
And my buddy just looks at me, he goes, you were a fat kid, weren't you? Because I was about to take a bite, and he goes, I knew it, man. He goes, only a fat kid would think to go muffin, cookie, ice cream, muffin, cookie.
Like, it's a great skill to have.
It really is.
He was missing out.
Yeah. So grandpa laid it down, and then I was like, oh, I need to like take a step back. And then also my bar mitzvah was coming up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're Jewish?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Ray's not a Jewish last name. It's my mom's last name.
Oh, okay.
Or my dad's last name. You said that, like your voice went up really high when you said that.
I was just surprised.
Is this going to be a shorter podcast?
I'm like, you can leave now. There's doors right there.
No.
No, I love Jews. I aspire to be one day.
Do you really?
Yeah. I've been jealous of Jews my entire life. I'm like, I don't get
for
to.
For what reason?
You guys just have so many activities and like parties and things to look forward to.
Hilarious.
And traditions.
Things
I have
to
nothing.
Look forward to.
I have nothing.
What a like sad and great statement. But like also every like that is at the core like every human's like just basic needs and desires. Like you want something to look forward to.
Yeah.
You want to wake up being like, I'm pumped for that.
Yeah.
Like in elementary school.
Friday I get a group dinner. Awesome. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Is that
recess.
What are they again?
Shabbat dinner?
Yeah, Shabbat dinner.
I got to learn
this by playing
the fact that you even know, you're way closer than any like girl I've dated that's not been Jewish. That's
really?
Like, I know some Jewish stuff. You guys like can't eat after midnight. I'm like, those are fucking gremlins. This is not going to work out.
Also, like every religion that, when they're fasting.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Have you dated Jews?
Yeah, sort of.
Positive experience? Negative?
Yeah. No, Jews are the best.
Yeah.
And I have a Jewish name, Rachel. It's a little Jewy. Yeah. And I took a DNA test and I was like 1% Ashkenazi Jew. I don't know what that means, but I'm technically part of the fam, I think.
It's one of the flavors.
Yeah. I'm in
Ashkenazi is a little intense. And like
what
Sephardic
does that mean?
And Orthodox. I don't know the exact breakdown.
Oh.
Like,
is it
I'm
not
very
a good,
reformed.
It's not a good strain? Should I
mean,
not tell people
I wouldn't
that?
Go around bragging you're Ashkenazi.
Oh, shit.
No, I don't know.
Oh.
You're basically like
that?
The open micer of Jews. No, I don't know what Ashkenazi is. It sounds very circusy.
It does, yeah.
Right?
Or aggressive.
Yeah. Just Ashkenazi? Like, yeah. Nazis close to Nazi.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I was thinking. I didn't want to say it, but you said it.
Yeah, well.
All right, fair enough.
So so he goes, hey, fatty, put the spoon down, you tubby bitch. You're in Oklahoma now. I'm paraphrasing. But Grandpa laid it out hard and real, and I was like,
oh, man.
And then my mom goes, you can't wear sweatpants at your bar mitzvah, which was like really funny in hindsight, but she also meant that.
Yeah.
She's like, you have to wear a suit.
You're like, nothing
can't wear hammer
fits.
Pants. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't wear those you can't wear a windbreaker and
but I love
Michael
them.
Jordan shorts. Yeah. But I love them, Mom.
They're my favorite.
And so
at least you dressed appropriately for your body type.
For sure.
I was not dressed appropriately.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, you
I
know,
mean, someone should have told me.
I mean, how nobody did?
No
teachers,
no
kids?
No, my mom just told me I was great, so I believed it.
That's the best.
Yeah.
I love your parents.
They're awesome.
They are?
Yeah, my parents are fantastic.
They're an extension of you. They've got to be.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice.
So I
So you dieted for your bar mitzvah, like almost like a wedding diet.
Pretty much.
Yeah, you got I got a big event coming up.
It's, oh my God, I never thought of it like that. 13-year-old prepubescent
male. I'm gonna have these photos for forever.
Oh my God, totally. And so, and a fat kid going on a diet is like spreads like wildfire because I'm in the sixth grade.
And everyone knows.
My bar mitzvah was like the end of sixth grade, and my birthday is June 16th, which was always like the last day of school or like. Right, I mean, you know, it was always or Father's Day, or it was always like cock blocked by something else.
That's annoying.
And all these dads trying to get attention.
Yeah,
and
all these dads giving up their lives for their sons, just trying to fucking
just trying to have a birthday, man. Just trying to fucking have a party, Jesus. Trying to get a slip and slide and shit. And so I at the sixth grade parties, there were like, you know, every treat you can imagine, and I would like. And it was really, I was so active that it was like.
You said
just
the word treat, every treat you could imagine.
Every
that's
treat.
A fat kid thing to say.
For sure. I still say treat. Who was I?
Like just you're said? Being rewarded with it. Like a dog. It's a treat.
Oh my God. Fat kids are just dogs with bigger tits. So I stopped eating like a lot of snacks.
Mm-hmm.
And just lost it like I almost lost 35 pounds in like 2 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
super active.
I lost it fast too.
Yeah. And it was, again, it was like just saying no to snacks.
Just saying no to, I don't need an English muffin with peanut butter and nachos after school.
Like
choose
the DARE
one,
program was like, yo, man, don't smoke weed. And then I was like, you know, be like, or eat that fifth Dunkaroo. You know, like I had my own version of the DARE program. I dare you to get skinny, you fat fuck. And so.
Yeah, it wasn't that hard to lose. I did it.
No, dropped off real quick.
Because I was active, too. I was I was a ballet dancer. I played sports.
Oh,
I was
nice.
Very agile for a
that's
fat
right.
kid.
You were a ballet dancer.
Yeah.
You were like what I refer to myself as in the show, I was quick fat.
Oh. What do you mean quick fat?
Quick fat is a term I came up with that explains why every 10, 20, 45 years there comes along a fat kid who defies the laws of gravity and is quick as these skinny kids. It's like quick. You're like, I'm just as fast as these guys. I just smell like Pop-Tarts and granola bars in my sweat. You know,
I might not look as good in the leotard, but damn, I'm one of the best dancers.
That's the best. Don't you ever see like some of those viral videos of like some of these chubs that are just like on Dance Dance Revolution?
Yeah, or they're awesome.
It's like
so much stamina,
I love
too.
It. And it gives me hope. And so so I dropped it quick. And then like, you know, all my friends' parents who I would go to their house for, you know, after school, whatever. Like, I mean, it was like. I'll never forget the face of some of these parents that like knew me as a fat kid forever. And then all of a sudden I'm just like, you know, not. And they were just like even one of them, I'm never.
Did they mention it?
Oh yeah. All of them, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember even one of my friend's moms, like I fucked me like in the seventh grade.
Or was that in your head?
Nope. Elevator
like,
eyes.
I looked fantastic.
She was a pervy.
Elevator
she was a pervy
eyes.
Mom anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you know?
She's made like overtly sexual comments. Like,
oh my god, a pervy mom sounds so creepy.
Her and her husband would like, you know, make out in front of us, and like they were very grab assy, and it was just like,
I don't like parents.
Nobody wants to see that. No. Like, because also, if you guys were hot parents, maybe there'd be a little bit of a change in discussion here, but also probably not because you're parents, and nobody wants to see that. Yeah. And also, we're just starting to figure that out about ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't want that to
be
the example.
We don't need to see Susan doing that shit.
No. If we're going to see it, like, you know, we'll wait for the internet.
Yeah.
And so, but I remember she was just like, she's like, oh my God, you're like a different person. And then just like up and down with the eyes. And I was like, in my head, I was like, that was weird.
That's so creepy. Yeah. That's very creepy.
Yeah. So,
but worth it. I mean, you know, you're going to get attention now.
For sure. I was all about it.
Were you still getting girls when you were a fat kid? Or you just weren't interested? You were more interested in figuring out how to make a muffin ice cream cookie sandwich.
Hilarious, and yes. I was like, how can you get two lasagnas in the same box?
Can you make a sandwich with lasagna? It technically is a sandwich. It's layered already. Yeah, yeah. But could you
Can you
do
go
that?
lasagna bread? Lasagna?
I think you could.
Yeah. Hey, Adam, these girls want to hang out. I'm busy.
I'm busy. Making a lasagna masterpiece over here. I actually made... Jacqueline, I went to your show last night at the Comedy Store. And... We left and she wanted to go get food. So I was like, no, let's just go to 7-Eleven, get some wine, and I'll just like make us stuff here. So we bought some bread and I made probably 6 paninis, just homemade. I put so much butter on them and cheese.
You.
Yeah. I mean, we went back to the fat kid stages last
paninis
night.
Paninis are great.
Yeah.
But did you have the same breakthrough that I did with being like with comedy where it's like, and this is what I was getting to with all these fat kid stories was that I started to find out that I could make people laugh, like by impersonating friends and teachers, and I would memorize like Ace Ventura lines and recite like these, you know, giant monologues in the back of the bus, and just quick little quips or whatever. But it was a lot of like very active, like acting out stuff that was making people laugh, like prank calling. There's a buddy of ours, this girl moved to our school named Annie Bernhard. She was like the new, cool, athletic, hot girl. Fourth grade, hot.
What's Annie up to now?
I think she's a lawyer with a couple kids.
Cool.
She looks happy. She was cool. I mean, she, I think she definitely, it's crazy. I know that she was like a huge partier in college. Because I remember, you know, I'd go back home from being out here at SC and I'd go home and see all my friends at University of Washington. And I remember I ran to her at like some random frat party. And I hadn't seen her like in 2 years since high school. And she was just fucked up and like looked like she was just on like.
Oh, wow.
She looked like she was on, you know, like, you know, if the dude she was dancing with was like, do you mind if we just fuck in the middle of the dance floor in front of people? She would have been like, actually, I was going to suggest that. Like, she looked like that. I mean,
sounds like a good
she was
time.
Living her life.
Yeah.
And now she's, you know, got the kid. So it's, did you ever see that when you look at people now and you're like, man, I know what you were.
Yeah.
I'm happy that you've like chilled out a little bit.
Well, most people didn't really amount to much from my hometown, but yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, what do you think of Astoria?
The Goonies got out of there.
That's all we had.
Nice little treasure.
That's all we had, yeah. But it's a stormy fishing village. You did a lot of meth in that kind of town.
For real?
Heroin, actually, I think was the bigger one. That's depressing.
Yikes.
Anyways.
I've never actually...
done heroin? Thank God.
I mean, give me a couple of years.
Neither have I.
That sounds like a dangerous drug, though.
It sounds terrible. I don't really know how you do that. Anyways, so you were talking about before Annie... Oh, so you were making
call.
People laugh.
Yeah, on a prank call. We were a prank call this the guy that she had a crush on, and I would do Annie's voice because like my voice, it didn't sound like this at all.
You have a very deep voice. How would you do a girl's voice?
I mean, it was just like really like it was, I would do that, but it was, I mean,
but
also, let's go back 20 years, you know.
You hadn't gone through puberty yet.
No. And so it was very, like to a T I could sound like her. Like it was unreal how close it was. She just had like a very like it was she was kind of raspy, but it was also like this, and it was very in the back of your throat. And like this kid like thought it was her, and we'd go after school, myself and these two other kids, and we would call him Evan, and we would prank him for we talked sometimes 10, 20, sometimes an hour as her.
Oh my
and
god!
We had on speaker and just giggle and like I mean that's kind of diabolical in the fifth.
Yeah,
grade,
it is a little bit,
but also like hilarious.
Did she find out later that you did this?
No, but he did because I told him. Because when he didn't,
did you think
it was
funny? He was like, "All right, well played."
He had this thing called the Candy Club, where you go over to his house and like you
the
like,
Candy Club.
You paid money, and he would give you candy out of his like. And it was like, dude, your mom.
He
bought
sounds
that
like
candy.
A drug dealer.
Yeah, and so I remember I told him when he it was a big group hang out at his house, and he was like, hey, "I was like, oh, I want a piece of candy." He's like, "You're not in the club, man. You haven't paid money." I was like, this is bullshit. I was like, and you know, I'm the one who's been pranking you. And he was like, what?
This guy sounds like a scumbag.
And I was like, yeah, hey, I'm Annie. And I did like the voice to him in his house. Dude, he was like so shocked. But it was like, we would talk for an hour. We'd just be laying there like holding our like breath because we were laughing so hard, me and these other guys. And we'd just be laying there and they'd write down things for me to say like, what are you thinking about right now? Like, if we could be stars, what star would you? Like, just crazy
shit.
Oh,
my God.
And he would answer it, and it was, like, so. And then we'd be like, you know, I didn't get very, like, crazy with it. I mean, if I was really, like, an asshole about it, I could have been like, come sit next to me during lunch tomorrow and, like, you know.
You could, yeah. You held back.
Yeah, there could have been some really crazy shit.
I mean,
shit.
It's still a little creepy, but you held back
a little bit.
It's more not creepy. It's diabolical. It's not a
for sure.
But fun. Sounds like a blast.
But anyway, so then people started laughing, and I was like, oh, I'm not the fat kid. I'm the funny kid now.
Yeah.
That's how they're seeing me. So I was like, I'm going to do this
more.
Yeah,
I mean, fat kids got to have personality.
Totally.
Because you're not really, like, killing it in the looks department, so totally. You got to come up some other way.
My God, we should find some for this episode, like, pictures of both of us and, like, Photoshop it together and post that.
Actually, we should.
That's a great idea.
I mean, I think you'd actually be shocked. I don't look like the same person. I bet you were just like a fatter version of yourself. It literally looks like I've had like a face transplant. I don't look the same.
Oh my God, I can't wait to see this picture.
I don't know why. I've looked different from like even being like 21 to now. I don't know what's happening, but I used to be Armenian and now I'm not.
Wow.
Yeah, I looked super, and I was Hispanic at one point.
What?
Like, I've just looked
What's
like a lot of different races.
Background?
I'm Italian and Irish, but I used to look super ethnic. I don't know.
Damn.
Something weird's going on, but I don't mind it.
It's life.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I wouldn't be in comedy if I wasn't a fat kid, I don't think.
For sure.
No one got into comedy that was like the high school cheerleader or like the prom queen. You're not funny. What do you fucking talk about?
Yeah, because they have no, and that's why I like when people go, I mean, my comedy is like very, I mean, it's starting, I guess, to change a little bit, but like, I like very fun and lighthearted and like, mm-hmm. I have no real, but I think everybody to even get into it, like, I'm sure in like 10 years, like, I'll get more of a Bill Burr mindset. Like,
yeah.
And I'm already starting to feel like I'm getting there with just like the current state of like the world. Like,
yeah.
Where it's just, I'm just being a little bit more vocal about like how I feel about it. And it's starting to translate on stage to where I'm not totally caring that I'm losing people, you know?
Yeah.
I'm still very cognizant, and I think you should be, of like, look, if you don't have to, we're not going up there to make a statement and divide the room. Like, mm-hmm. you're supposed to be funny and be entertaining.
Yeah.
That's what people are coming for.
Yeah.
And I still view stand-up as like a very much as a lot of people's escape from all that shit. So
yeah,
like,
no, that's true.
But
I think after
yourself,
a certain point, though, I guess you tend to get to the point, like a Bill Burr, yeah, where you want to just make.
But he has also a big audience and a following and a known brand of, like, who he is.
Yeah.
So it's and such a solid point of view that, like, people go in expecting that. And also, when you do have that, like, you know, cachet and background of, like, being so prolific, like,
yeah,
you almost can say anything at this point.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Because he just is making it fun. And people, you know, I mean, what a great place to where all the people coming to see you are, mm-hmm. like, like your shows are fans of you.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do wrong.
Yeah. And one, he gets away with it too because he makes fun of himself about being so angry. Like, he makes it seem like this is a fault of his, but also he has good points. It's kind of like Jim Jefferies does the same thing where it's like, I'm a fucking, like, mess, but what I'm saying is pretty smart, but at least I'm kind of like making fun of myself along the way.
Totally. You have to be a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see somebody up there like completely in control.
Oh, no, I make fun of myself. I'm like,
everything.
At this point, I'm like actually happy I broke my hand because it's been like my best opener lately. I broke my hand and now it's stuck in this weird position. It's very attractive, I know.
I don't want to say anything, but your fingers do look a little like separated.
Do you notice it?
I just
did you notice it earlier?
No.
Yeah, they're weird.
I would be unbelievably perceptive if I walked in and was like,
you were like, oh, look at those fingers.
Hey. Yeah.
But like now it's like, I have like another reason to make fun of myself. And so I do it on stage. I talk about, like, you know, now that I'm, like, dating, like, and I like, hug a guy or, like, I'm making out with him. My hand's like a dead fish on their back. And,
do they ask you to, like, remove it?
Like, no, they don't know. But it's been great for stand-up because it's people are just like, aw, poor deformed girl.
I mean, that's a shitty nickname.
Well.
Poor deformed girl.
Well, I'm just saying. Like, it's
Wait,
it's
now this
humanizing.
Might be too personal. Has the weird hand come into play in certain situations in your dating life to where it's...
Well, I'm not left-handed, so that's good.
Great.
Yeah. So, not really. No one really notices unless I'm, like, at dinner or something, and I'm like, I can't actually grip this knife right
now. What's that in the way?
A little bit. It's gotten a lot better now. It'll eventually be fine, I think. I'm in physical therapy. Whatever. I'm
are
just
you
looking
really?
At it. Yeah.
What do you do? Just
they try to like make. I can't close my hand.
Oh my god.
Don't look at it now. I'm embarrassed. Yeah, I
no,
can't.
No, come on. That's
but
what makes you.
This finger especially, I can't close. I only broke it like a few months ago, so maybe it'll
doing
do better.
Doing what? I didn't even ask that.
I was riding a bike sober, surprisingly.
Yikes.
In Martha's Vineyard.
And that was your first mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably. I'm a better drunk than I am sober. And I fell off and just. And it didn't actually even hurt. Like, I fell. I
and
hit.
You braced yourself with your.
My hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, that was a bad spill. I'm fine. I'm going to get back on the horse. And I looked at it. I was like, holy shit, that's broken. Because it didn't hurt. And then I would like, then I freaked myself out. I like shouldered myself to the side of the road like I was in Vietnam, just like laying, just like laying in the grass on the side of the road by myself. I was by myself too, just like.
Now, was the community of Martha's Vineyard like?
They were very helpful.
I feel like nothing bad happens up there.
Well, yeah, maybe not. There's only one hospital.
Yeah, that's what
people
I'm saying.
Kept pulling over to try to help me. And I was amazing. Like, I'm fine. And some guy threw a sock at me. He's like, you're bleeding. The sock's clean.
Jesus.
I was like, that's really creepy.
By the way, say the sock's clean and then you're bleeding. Because yeah. You know you're bleeding.
Yeah.
But like.
He's like, use this. And it, like, he threw it at me from his truck and it like hit me in the head and fell on the ground. I was
Jesus.
Like, thanks. Jesus. This is so horrible.
I mean, all right. So people in the vineyard, they want to help. But they're like, look, I ain't getting
But they don't
want to
get out of their car. Yeah, yeah. No. I mean, they got shit to do. They got billions.
Pretty
to
girl,
make.
A pretty girl on a bike. She could also be a gang member.
Yeah, exactly.
They're so scared and white up
She's
there.
She's not
huh?
from here. She's not wearing a collared shirt. She doesn't know the rules.
Is it really just all collared shirts and big hats?
I mean, I feel like all those kind of East Coast sort of areas are very
big
like,
hats, collared shirts,
yeah,
tight
pastels.
Butts. That's the vineyard,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
but no it's got to be fun, right?
No one's very attractive though.
Bummer.
It's like they're all very just whitewashed and basic looking. They're rich. And in shape, that's one thing. Yeah, no one's right. Fat, but they're just sort of like, eh, I don't know.
Yeah.
No one. There's not like a hot, exotic Adriana Lima type looking person walking around. Not that, but you can kind of see that in LA. That doesn't happen over there. Everyone's just sort of like, eh.
Because why? Because they're just.
I don't know. They like to stay in their preppy little circle.
What are the jobs? What's the.
I think they're all in finance and then they vacation in Martha's Vineyard.
They pick grapes.
Do they?
I don't know. There's a vineyard up there.
No, I think it's just the name of the.
Oh, really?
It's just the name of the island. There might be, but no, that's I don't know why it's
There's
called
no
that.
There's no vineyards in Martha's Vineyard.
There might be, but I don't think that's why it's popular.
Wow.
Clearly, you've never been there. Well, we're from the West Coast.
Is there also no filet at Chick-fil-A?
There is.
Okay, I just had it for the first
time. You would
know.
So you still eat fat kid food?
The first time I had it, I don't do fast food.
You
anymore.
Just
you
got
can't.
Really defensive.
Yeah, well, just because
like I stay on my diet.
I mean, fast food, sure, delicious, but like, after I saw Super Size Me, fuck that.
I know the premise. Actually, I do think I saw
Watch
it.
The documentary.
His health, like, really went downhill.
Oh, his health, but also, like, just, like, I don't know. I have a very photographic memory, and, like, so.
Oh, I don't eat fast food either. Gross.
Yes, your hand is going to give me some nightmares.
That's so mean.
I'm joking. Oh, my God.
Don't tell anyone that could, like, in the future date me about my hand.
It's adorable.
They'll learn it in good time.
It's now like a part of you.
Yeah.
It's like your thing.
Yeah, it's very cute.
Who called you poorly deformed woman though, by the way?
No one. I'm just saying like I can see on stage it like humanizes me when I talk
if
about
it. If
it
was like,
look,
if you'd like lost your hand and you had a nub.
Well, that would be a little bit harder.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Well, actually a lot of it because you would have.
And listen, again, I still dated a paralyzed person. He was still killing
Fuck.
It.
Did you get any sort of plaque for that or anything?
No, I just talk about it a lot so people will like know I was a nice person.
Amazing.
Yeah, I slip it into conversation. I do it a lot on first
How
dates
early?
Where I'm just.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. So they're like, so they can think in their head, like, if something bad ever happened to me, she'd stick by me.
Are you a. Do you. How quickly on a first date do you talk about your past situations? Because I feel like it happens all the time.
Okay. Well, first of all, I have not really dated in almost 7 years. Like, I mean. I dated Robbie, paralyzed guy, for like 2.5 years. And then there was only a couple months in between before I met John. And I was like 4. So let's call it around 7 years. I haven't like really dated.
Right.
Except for, you know, a few months in between. Excuse me. So I don't have like a ton of experience. I don't really know what I talk about. But I don't think, no, I don't bring up weird shit. I've been a good listener
but even
lately
like
on first dates.
Oh, good.
But that, yeah, like that I let them talk.
Yeah.
But I think Gabby and I were talking about this on my podcast last week. I think when you're a comic and entertainer, you can be great on a first date and think the date goes better than it does just because you're used to like entertaining people. Yeah. So like you're like, well, this is fantastic, or like, or you can make someone like you easily.
Yeah.
Without actually, I mean, and it falls apart around date three when you actually have to be yourself.
Yeah, that's the worst.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't really talk about weird stuff. I think it's dumb when people talk about like their past or like depressing things on first dates.
For sure. Also, it's like keep it light and fun.
Yeah.
Like, nobody you because you also that. That to me is like an immediate, like, you're moving quick if it goes. Like,
yeah.
Keep it light and fun. Like, get to know, like, enough.
Yeah. Don't unload all your baggage.
No.
Yeah.
But, like, you want to have a good time and also maybe think about it next time. Like, you also got to leave always something to be, like.
Ooh, do you have dating tips? I feel like you're about ready to lead into some.
I really don't. I mean, I'm just starting to date more, I guess, but.
Wait, I want to hear some dating tips. What would you like a girl like to be like on a first date?
I'm starting to find out more what I think, what I like. Because I dated 3 different girls from 19 to 28, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm
like, seriously?
Like, yeah.
Dude, okay.
Yeah. 2 long distance. And so I'm just spent emotionally.
Yeah.
Like they were all
amazing. I mean, it's
amazing.
Been 6 years now.
Yeah, but like that was like almost 10 years back to back to back.
Okay, fair enough.
Only one had like a year in between. One had 3 months in between.
Okay.
So and I was like, very much in all of them. One
what you're saying
on
is you. I was like, what you're saying is you didn't cheat on him?
I didn't.
Good for you.
I cheated on.
What a scumbag.
I guess. I knew it was coming, though. She was in Reno. We went to SC
she
together.
She was in Reno? Ugh.
We went to USC together.
Who do you find in Reno?
Well, she was, she's from San Fran. We met at USC, and then she went to New York to be in the NBC Page program, and then she went to Reno to be a news reporter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And she had a job there.
It was like a good market for starting out.
She
was
just chilling in Reno.
If she was, yeah, if I just went to Reno and was like, I'm going to go find a lady to.
God, I was there for a
Reno
week.
Reno is
it was
a
terrible.
Difficult place.
I barely left the casino. It was terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you there in the summertime? Because the Truckee River is kind of cool. You can like.
No, we were there over Thanksgiving. Me and Mark and Bill Dawes.
Yeah.
It was, well, it was a great shows, but it was, Reno's awful.
Ugh.
Anyways.
Yeah, it was so funny too, because when I met the guy that she inevitably ended up. What's the word I'm looking for?
Cheating on you with?
Swallowed. He, she,
swallowed gross.
She,
Yo, did she tell you what she did?
No, I asked a lot of questions because it was like.
Oh, it's like self-cutting.
Yeah, it was the worst. But it was like on the way out. So it was, and we kind of taken a little bit of a break. And then I was going to go to Reno. We were going to drive to San Fran and see her family for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I got there and she like pulled out this note and she started crying. And I was like. You've been working on some short stories? What is that? And she just like starts reading
she
this
made it
letter.
Funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the go to like crutch of like, you know, how do I avoid
it's painful,
like, the real cut here? And she starts reading this note. She's like, the past few weeks have been very tough. And I guess. And like, and then as soon as she says like the guy that it was, and I remember I was like, oh man, it was like, she was 24. This guy was like 30. He was the cameraman. The only guy that was in the vicinity of her age. And like, everyone at this news station was like married and older. She's the only young, hot reporter. I'm like, for sure she's going to get preyed on by these Reno perverts. And and I remember even I shook this guy's hand when I first went to the station and like met him. And I remember I shook his hand. He's like, what's up? I'm Jeff. And I was just like, you're going to fuck her.
You knew you?
Oh, yeah. This was like
was
something.
He good looking?
No.
He was just of age?
He was just like.
Well, she sounds like a whore.
I mean, I think she's married now, but
I'm an
also
asshole.
No, she's a whore.
I mean,
come on, man.
You
I treated
you
her well.
You can't resist Jeff from Reno.
You have to.
Yeah, relax, lady.
You can't resist.
Come
it's
on.
It's so funny too because I went back there when I did some show and I did the new station that.
Which
she
one is it?
At.
I did it recently
NBC.
Too. I don't know. Oh no, I did Fox.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the same people, reporters, like that were the main anchors were there. And Mariah, like.
Did they remember you?
No, because it's been years. And I sat down and I asked if they knew her. And they were like, oh, yeah. What's she been up to? I go, I don't keep in touch anymore. I go, she cheated on me. And they go, what? And this is like right before we started this segment.
You just made
it's
them
like
so 7
uncomfortable. 7 a.m. and the guy
you're
goes.
Like with someone that worked here.
The guy goes, huh? And I go, yeah, dude, it's all good. I go, let's not get into it. And then they just like, they point to me. He goes, comedian Adam Ray is here this weekend.
Just made them so uncomfortable.
Yeah, for
it
sure.
It wasn't their fault.
But I don't
they didn't
have
encourage
any...
Jeff to do that.
No. I know. They might have.
Yeah, you never know.
They're like, you want to be a cameraman forever? You want to be behind the desk?
Yeah. That's what you got to do.
But I don't have any real dating tips. But I'm starting to find more and more what I like.
So
and
are you
like.
Are you going out and dating now?
Yeah, here and there.
It took you 6 years to get over it?
I mean, being single is fun. You're finding this out.
It is fun. Well, the good thing about being single...
I like only worrying about me, by the way, like right now. That's great.
I'm worried about you. It's been 6 years.
I'm fine.
You're going to end up like Mark. It's been 10 years since he's really dated, since his fiance cheated on him.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark, well...
I mean...
He's doing all right.
He's fine.
He's fine.
And he just... I think in these current changes he's making, he will put himself in a situation to find somebody more appropriate
good.
For him. I hope.
He doesn't
but
have
also,
the best taste.
You know,
whatever.
We're in different stages of our lives. I think he might be in a situation that's more wanting that than I do, you know?
So you don't want a girlfriend?
I don't think so right now. I'm very, like, you know, I just...
Your career is skyrocketing. You can't have someone to tie you down.
I mean, I worked very hard to get to a point where I feel like I am very busy.
Yeah.
And I like to put all of my attention into that. And also all the attention that I would put into the girls that I, like, dated during my 20s where I was just, like, so into it. And and I want to be like that, you know?
Yeah.
And
but
all
you
that,
can't really do that right now.
No, I don't want to, like, half-ass it with somebody. And, because when I fall hard, baby.
Yeah.
But,
do you?
Yeah, I really do. Like, I mean, that's why my mom was like, you lead with your heart and not with your brain. And that's sweet. And you know what?
It's
better.
Awesome.
It's better to have loved and lost. Like, she'd always tell me that, like, in any sort of breakup or hard situation. Even in eighth
grade.
You're
like, you're just saying words. What are you saying?
Yeah.
You stole that quote from someone.
It's better to have loved and... Yeah, her quotes were always jumbled. She'd be like, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Mom, that doesn't help at all.
That is not...
No, but I do have quarter pounders, you fat bitch. Yeah. And so she's very sweet.
Yeah, she sounds like it.
She's always like... Her advice is, like, whoever you... You know, she definitely cares a little bit about them being Jewish. So sorry, Rich.
I'm 1%.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I'm a Jew.
Okay. I will send her a text after this.
What's her name?
Puddin.
You let Puddin know.
Yeah.
You did a podcast with a 1% Jew.
She'd love that. She'd be like, well, at least that's something.
At least she's trying.
My mom is so, like... Like, it used to be like a big issue where it was like the Jew thing was like at the forefront where I could be like, Mom, you're going to love this girl. Like, she's, you know, graduated from Harvard at the top of her class. She started her own business at 20.
She cured cancer.
Multimillionaire. She cured cancer.
But is she Jewish?
Yeah. She can fly. Is that how she gets to the temple? Like, she wouldn't even.
So you have to marry a Jew?
No, she's lighting up on that.
Okay.
And now her whole thing is. Get with somebody that you can't imagine, like, not living with.
Oh, that's
or living
nice.
Without.
Well, that's actually good advice.
Living without.
Oh,
living without.
But it's still, it's
so
good advice.
So, you know, where she's like, you just get hit over the head with it, and you're just like, I can't. And that's, like, how I've been with the girls I've really spent time with, where it's just, like, you know. And look, that's the best part about, like, being in love with somebody. But at the same time, like, right now, I'm like, I almost hold myself back from really getting into that because I don't want to take away from...
Yeah.
All the time and effort I've put into
your career
stuff right now.
Yeah.
And also all the time that I would have for a girlfriend I put into going back to Seattle to see my family. And you know, my nieces were dadless for the first 5 years of their life. So that's why I would go back to Seattle a lot to just be around them.
But you eventually have to have your own family.
I mean, you're
still very young, though. But I get it. I like being single right now. I don't like the feeling of having to, like, be stressed about someone and, you know, or like, oh, God, are they going to text? Like, especially even, like...
Just checking up.
But even like not getting too close in terms of like dating people where you're like, oh, do they like me? Do I text them? Do they text me? Like, I don't want to worry about
all
that
the
shit.
Games, yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to make paninis at 2 a.m. with my friend and get drunk.
I mean, there's never been a truer statement on the podcast. Hey, you can't just make paninis
fun.
If you have a significant other.
Yeah, then you're like, well, do I have to
invite
them
you?
Over?
Do I have to be quiet?
Yeah.
Do I have to invite them over?
Yeah, exactly.
Do I have to have a panini party?
Yeah. I can just do whatever the fuck I want. Sometimes I wake up like early in the morning and like I'm like still half drunk and I'm like, this is a blast. Like no one's judging me.
Rules.
Yeah, it's so fun.
You wake up half drunk sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, I aspire to do it most of the time.
That's great.
It's always a great gift. When you're not hungover and you're just like a little bit drunk still, that's the best.
I had a pop brownie the other night and I haven't had one in probably 7 years because the last time I had one, I went to Disneyland and asked Winnie the Pooh to call me a cab to Cedar Sinai.
What made you,
true story.
What made you
peer pressure
get back on the wagon?
Did a podcast.
Took it on the podcast?
No, afterwards. So I do a podcast with Brad Williams called mm-hmm. About Last Night, and I do a sports comedy podcast with Josh Wolf called uh-huh. Good Call.
I just figured that out. I don't know why did I see it? I must have been stalking you or stalking the charts on iTunes.
Great.
Or something. I don't know.
So that's a lot of fun, and it's we're starting to do. It was just Josh and I for a while. Now we're mm-hmm. doing guests, and we had the Sports Center anchor on, and we were leaving. And Josh loves the marijuana
plant
world.
Yeah. World.
Culture. And he's down with the edibles, and I'm like, usually not, but I was
they're
like,
scary,
you know what?
Right? Because you don't really know the dose.
You can't
you're getting.
Gauge how much is going in, and he told me some numbers, and then I just took a small amount that looked safe. Mm-hmm. You're eyeballing all this stuff. I was like, that looks good. That looks like I want to have a panic attack in my own bed and do some sort of weird step ball change in my patio. Because in my head, I'm like, if you do a fucking like river dance, you won't have a heart attack. Like, you get such crazy like rationalizations.
This is not for me.
Oh, I had the. It was no joke. One of the worst nights of my life.
I don't like it.
This was two nights ago.
Why would anyone do this to themselves?
And I'm like so thankful to be here right now and not that fucked up. Like every day, it was almost like an eye opening experience where it was like the fact that I'm not that way anymore is I'm like, oh, anything's possible now.
Jesus.
Like I got like a second chance. It was awful.
And I don't like, I can't do it. I'm too afraid from these stories.
Yeah.
I took a little bit of a side of a cookie at the airport not too long ago with my friend Stassi, and I had a blast, but it was like literally a crumb. And yeah. I was high. I mean, everything
it's
was
too
hilarious.
Much. Of course. Just, yeah. And that is great. And there's but it's a very like, and I was having a great time, and all of a sudden it just became this like how to control the panic. And it was like you have this through line of oh shit, but the oh shit just gets calmer or more intense. So it's like I'm sitting there and I'm just like, oh shit, oh shit. Oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. Oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. And then all of a sudden it goes back up and you're like, fuck. I mean, it was just like
it's terrifying because you can't get it out of your body. See, that's always what's freaked me out about. I'm not a drug person. I always say this because I don't want to put something in my body that like I can't regulate. And once it's in there, I mean, at least with alcohol, you can be like, I'll drink more water.
Yeah.
I'll go to sleep. I can ride it out. You can regulate it a little. Or, you can also just be like, don't have 12 shots.
Yeah.
But if you put a pill in your body or a edible and you don't know the dosage of it.
You don't get to decide when you sleep at that
point.
It's
terrifying.
I was on my patio doing this weird shuffle. Like this weird, like, if you.
By yourself?
Yeah. If you had looked across the way in my apartment complex, which is set up like Melrose Place style, where it's like, you look out of your little place and you just see all the other, there's like a pool.
I mean,
in the
middle. I know, I've been there. You weren't there.
That's right.
I've told you this. It's very weird. I've been in his apartment. He wasn't there.
Should we tell them why?
Yeah, because Mark was there.
Yeah.
Mark's been on my podcast.
So Mark was there, I think waiting for some sort of, I think somebody was installing a TV for me and they had to do it on a day that I wasn't there.
I don't think that's why he was there. I'm not really sure why he was in your apartment.
But I think
it
I gave him the key
like
for
in the
that.
Evening. Oh.
And I think he just took it upon himself to go there when I wasn't there.
Anyways.
So
you're on your patio and all your neighbors can see you.
So I'm doing this weird Paula Abdul shuffle and all of a sudden like for probably six, seven minutes. And in my head, I'm just like, keep doing this. And you're like, you'll be fine. And all of a sudden I just hear from across the way, are you okay?
Oh.
And I just look up and I go, fine. And I go back inside. And I was like,
look, I hate
dude,
myself.
Even
I hate
weirder.
Myself.
Now that guy is just going to constantly be wondering, who's the fucking freak show? And
Do you know who he is? Have you
no,
seen him?
I only know a few people in my apartment. And I've exchanged like a few what's ups. Some weird high fives.
Who are you high-fiving?
There's an old Russian man who's like 95. And he swims laps every morning at like 7 a.m.
Good for him.
Yeah.
He's killing it.
I used to go move my car when I didn't have parking on the street at like, 7 whatever. And he's out there doing laps early in the morning. And I'm just like half asleep walking to the street. And I'm like, you piece of shit. Making me feel bad.
He's been through shit. Yeah
dude. Swimming laps like it's no problem.
Yeah, he probably swam here from Russia.
Probably. Yeah. Is that racist? I don't know. That's
meh. I don't know. It was a hard country to get out of at a certain point.
It really was.
We're a hard country to get into.
By the way,
if you're Russian.
In this current climate, there's so many. I feel like people are getting so tense right now that like
really?
Anything that is said, you can be like.
Yeah.
Is that like.
Is that.
Even when it's not even close to it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think I care. No, I do. I do. I don't want to offend people.
Like if you see like a 6'9 black guy, you're like, man, that black guy is huge.
Mm-hmm. You can't like say that?
See,
it's
you
a
can.
Statement.
Exactly.
It's a factual statement.
People are getting so tense right now.
Really?
Yeah, you don't feel it?
Well, yeah, but I just don't pay a lot of attention.
I kicked two old Trump supporters out of my shows in Connecticut last week.
Really?
Yeah.
You just kicked them out?
It was like a long build-up. I gave them a lot of chances to be
nice. They were just being annoying?
I'm always very...
You're good with hecklers. I feel like I've seen a video online.
Yeah, posted a handful. I kill them with kindness. I'm always very sweet, and I don't get abrasive, and that's how you keep the audience on your side. Mm-hmm. And then when they're maybe run out of chances or just like so belligerent or whatever, and then you need to actually like lay in and like handle shit, then everyone's like, oh, hell yeah, man, do that.
Yeah. Well, they've made their own bed at that point. Everyone's on your side at that point.
They were definitely...
That's a good way to handle it, where you're not just mean to them up front.
Oh,
you let them
right
embarrass
away,
themselves.
People are like, dude, fuck
Yeah, like
you.
They're just having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were curmudgeons, and I don't use that word too often.
What does curmudgeon mean again?
Like just like old pissy pieces of shit.
Okay.
Like the Muppets, the old Muppets that sat up. They were curmudgeons.
Oh, okay.
But they were hilarious.
Yeah, they were good curmudgeons.
They were good curmudgeons.
All right, cool.
It was a good and a bad curmudgeon.
Let's talk a little bit about your career.
Sure.
How did you...
Is this going well so far?
I think it's going great, actually. Good. It's going very well.
Okay, good.
How did you... did you know you wanted to be an actor or a comic first? Would you moved out here. Well, you went to school out here.
Yeah, I went to USC.
Tell me how it all started.
So I left Seattle, and I started... once I started to become the funny kid, right? Mm-hmm. And then I started to...
By way of being the fat kid?
For sure.
Yeah.
And then I... I did all the sports. My goal was to be in the NBA.
You did all the sports?
Oh, yeah. Football, basketball, baseball.
You would be in the NBA, yeah?
I wanted to be.
Okay. Yeah. You're white. Yep. I'm not 6'7". But
thank you. Yep. Yeah. And I didn't know that at that age.
Out.
I thought I could get to that. I thought I could grow
and change.
Racially and physically.
You were a dreamer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm 5'8" and white, but someday I could be 6'8" and black. Didn't happen.
God, your parents gave you way too much confidence.
I know.
Minded.
Yeah.
Like they stunted us, I think.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be somewhat realistic with your kids. And so then I was like, I think I want to be an actor. I started doing all the musicals and plays.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just again like for fun. And then my sophomore year, I was playing football. And the plays were a big deal in our community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like
really?
in elementary school, you would take field trips to go see these plays because the drama production was so great. And so I had a part in the freshman, my freshman year in the musical. And then I'm doing football my sophomore year. And I did all the camps.
Just covering all the bases.
For sure. And I was lifting like weights a bunch, and I was getting pretty big. And my coach was like, I think you're going to start offensive line on varsity this year because the senior guard is injured.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to move you up. And then the guy who directed the play in the previous spring, my freshman year, was directing it again and goes, we're going to do Grease, and I think you'd make a great Danny Zuko. And I just want to see if you would audition. You know, I'm not telling you you have it, but if you audition, I think it'd be really great. And I was like...
So he totally told you you had it.
Well, he was like, you should... I mean, the other guy who I auditioned against was a...
Blonde?
No, was a... was 4 inches shorter than me and Korean. So I was like, I think I got this.
Right, yeah.
His name was Danny opposite. Park.
At least he got Danny, right?
Yeah. And so I quit football. I told my coach I was going to quit football to do Grease. Not happy about that.
Your coach was like, you're a homosexual.
Yeah, I walked in his office during weight training, and I go, Coach, I'm thinking about doing the play and not playing football. After he'd made me sophomore captain, and I'm going to start varsity, and I was like, I think I'm going to do the play. And he goes, you come back in 2 weeks and tell me the right answer. And I was like, okay, thanks, coach. Great, great talk.
Thanks, buddy.
And I leave, and I go back, and it was like out of a movie. I walk down this. Every day I go back home. My mom's like, did you tell him today? I'm like, no. She's like, you're just like prolonging it. Like, you just need to.
Yeah.
And she's the one who helped me figure out what I want to do. I go, Mom, like, I really want to do the play. And, like, she goes, what do you want to do right now? I go, if I play football, I'm going to be doing it to please the coach.
Yeah.
I want to do the play. She goes, and there's your answer. Don't live your life to please other people. And I was
your
like,
mom really sounds fantastic.
Yeah, she's dope. She's been on her podcast twice. She's dope.
Okay. I
got to
listen.
You got to. And so she laid that out for me. And then I went back and I walked down this long hallway to his office. And I was like, coach, I tried to make a joke. I was like, I don't have, I'm not going to have any time to memorize the playbook this year because I think I'm going to. I'm trying to memorize the lyrics to Grease Lightning and go ahead and do the play. And he just goes, get the fuck out of my office.
That's how you told him?
Yeah. and he kind of just like looked up and was like, get the fuck out. And then he eventually brought his kids in the last matinee and was like really weird about it. And he was also the basketball coach, and that was like a big deal.
Oh, okay.
Because basketball is my main sport. So, he would use it to me. I mean, in practice, if I fucked up a play, he'd be like, sorry, I don't have a script for this fucking play, Zuko.
Jesus.
You know, shit like that. He was an angry dude, but I think he's okay now. He lives in Hawaii. And
you really keep up on all the people you went to school with.
I just have a good, like, memory for it, I guess.
Yeah.
pot hasn't totally fucked it up. So then I did all the musicals, and then I go, I think I want to do this acting thing for real. Because after that play, it was like, it was such a, you know, so much fun, and it was like, you know, a big success in the, you know, at the school and in the community. It was just, who doesn't love Grease, right? And we had a great crop of actors my sophomore year, like juniors. Like, it was just a, it was a really cool group, and which I think you need in any early stage of like something that you enjoy, like the people you have around you is going to factor into how much you enjoy it, and like having other people around you that are better and that inspire you, and all that was there.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I think I want to do this afterwards. So I started applying for schools, and SC was like definitely on, you know, so expensive. So, but I had the single mom thing going. Mm-hmm. So my mom was like, all right, we can get some grants, we can get some loans, we can get this.
Got the single mom thing going for me.
Yeah. Three jobs, single mom. Like, for sure, they're like, oh, we feel bad for you. You also.
Perfect.
Yeah. Were you a fat kid? And there's a
also,
fat kid
do you
grant.
Have any American Indian roots?
Yeah. Can you make a lasagna sandwich?
And, why, yes, I can.
Oh, and Native American roots. Yeah, that stuff would have been key. But I think the Jewish thing did help for diversity a little bit. Really? And so I auditioned for a little bit.
I mean, you guys had that whole thing called, like, the Holocaust. So I guess that's hard.
Do you say Holocaust or Holocaust?
I don't know.
By the way, totally a joke
Holocaust.
Question.
Like, I don't know
if that's ever been, exchanged between. Because, you know, some people go, is it Hanukkah?
I'm trying to pretend like I'm
people
a Jew.
Go, is it Hanukkah or Chanukkah? And this is important if I do bring you home. If you say Hanukkah. Holocaust or Holocaust.
What do I say? What's the right one?
I would say Holocaust.
Challah?
Yeah.
Like challah bread.
Yeah.
They shouldn't really call it the same thing. They shouldn't
challah bread, Holocaust?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like it'd bring up bad memories.
By the way, this conversation has never happened anywhere. Is it challah bread or Holocaust? You should not say them in the same...
I just feel like it might give some people some PTSD.
Wouldn't that be great, though, if I did bring you home and that was a deal breaker and you were like, first of all, I don't know why you would bring up the Holocaust like on like a first family visit, but like...
You never know. I like to drink. I might.
Oh, my God. You just have like a couple too many like vodka tonics and you're sitting there. You just go, you know what's fucked up? That you guys had to go through the Holocaust. And then my folks are like, well, it actually wasn't us because we're not 150.
Yeah, we weren't there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But... appreciate the sentiment, and then you go, and while we're talking about it, is it a Holocaust or Holocaust?
And I feel weird eating this bread right now and saying Holocaust.
Oh my God.
Oh, you're in for a real treat. All anyways. Right.
So then I go down to LA. I auditioned for the acting school, and I was I made the mistake of staying with a kid who was a year above me in his fraternity.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh, free housing, I'm gonna go to LA for 3 days, audition for the acting school. But, like, I partied with him in his frat the night before my audition. First time I smoked out of a bong, like, I just got super fucked up. And then I went into my audition. I was so sick. And I was just like, man, I'm prepared here, but, like, I'm so sick. I don't even care what happens. Like, I just need to get through this. And I think that actually helped because I was so, like, not nervous because of that.
Yeah.
I was like.
You were just like, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I got into the school, and my SAT scores were like fine, but they weren't up to par. Like, I think I got like 11-10, right?
But you had that whole Jew single mom thing.
For
got
sure.
In. Yeah.
Because the mean average of my incoming freshman year class in 2001 at USC was 1540, I think.
You have a very good memory.
And so I had 11-10, and that is not up to par. But they were like, oh, but you had like a lot of extracurriculars, and your GPA was good, and you're a Jew, and your mom's got a cool name, and like, you know. And so I got in, and then I started doing... The acting school was very rigorous and, like, a lot of plays, and the classes were great. And then also just being in L.A., I feel like I was like, at some point I want to be here.
Yeah.
So to be here for school was, like, a little leg up.
Yeah, it is, because you were here young.
But still, even graduating, it was like I never... The acting program was so demanding that I didn't do stand-up. I did, like, a few frat parties here and there, but it was like...
You would do stand-up at frat parties?
Yeah.
Seems like a tough crowd.
Very tough.
Yeah.
Before bands.
Yeah.
But I was so like delusionally confident, you know?
I did it. Puddin' gave that to you.
I did it 2 times in Seattle before I moved down here just to be like, I'm a comic.
Yeah.
So I could come to LA being like, I've done it before. I've done stand up. So then when I do these frat parties, I'd be like, you have me open for the band. I do stand up.
Yeah.
People were like, what? I would do like 30 minutes. Isn't that crazy?
Was it good?
I mean, there were some jokes. I saw the tape. I mean, maybe like 7 years ago.
God, I would love to see this.
I think I could find it somewhere. I was very, because of like the theater background, I was very comfortable on stage.
Yeah.
But obviously the writing is what takes time. You know? And there were some bits. I do a lot of stuff about school. And so that was, that would always go over well.
Because that's all you knew at that point.
But then I'm like doing these long act outs of like, I had this bit about fucking something about Charlie Brown and the deaf teacher, and like I would act out like all the characters in Charlie Brown. It was fucking
weird. You would like
weird.
Move positions on stage. You would say something.
It was
go
a lot.
The other side.
Yeah, and also like there's so much chaos in a frat and people waiting for the band.
Yeah,
I'm doing 30 minutes. You want for a band? You should be doing 15 minutes max.
Yeah, warm them up
like.
A little bit. Yeah,
yeah, warm them up.
Don't
talk
make
about
them
how
tired.
Much you love the band.
Yeah.
So then you know, and then I graduated, and it was like, I have a theater degree. I'm trying to make something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. I worked at Universal Studios Hollywood as a tour guide and as
That's
Wolverine
cool.
for a little bit. And then just to not wait tables because I didn't want to do that. And then I would make a lot of YouTube videos and sketches and do stand-up every night. And
So you started doing stand-up like right after college, like regularly?
Pretty much, yeah. So it was like I'd say I did like bringer shows once every 4 months.
That's
and
great.
Still was like, I'm a comic. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I felt like a comic when I was
delusional.
Doing bringer shows
too.
Yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
But I'm saying even like, bringer shows are essential, and I think like that's
well. Even if you're Bill Burr, it's essentially a bringer show because you have to have fans
for sure, and you need to feel something more than an open mic every now and then,
mm-hmm.
and be like, and get to see like what it's like on the other side, and go, oh, a real stage with like people who are thinking they're seeing a real show. Like you just need to be around that environment.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing it so infrequently. I wasn't getting better, but I was because I was scared and I knew it required the full like giving yourself over to stand up
mm-hmm.
and driving to Santa Barbara for 8 minutes or driving to San Diego to do a last minute, like just being in that position where you're like, I'm all in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't do that for the first 2 years after college. And then in 2007, when Jeff the Reno Fucker came into the picture, which sounds like the worst like superhero name.
Jeff the Reno Fucker.
And so I wonder how many other like he probably just went on a tear. Probably just like,
oh,
how many emotionally unavailable?
How many interns did he hook up with?
Just so you know, just praying.
At least
girls
she was
like
probably the best one.
I hope so.
I mean,
although she told me at one point too, what she was crying. Not to go back to
reading
this,
her letter.
Well, she goes, because I started asking all those questions, and I was like, did you fuck him? And she's like, he's like kind of nods, and I go, oh man, I go.
And you were in the car?
No, we're like in her apartment still.
Oh, I thought you were in the car. Oh, okay.
Then we got in the car, and then I drove us to San Francisco because she was so like a mess and like so upset.
You still went to be with her family?
I was like, I can't just leave her. No. I drove up to San Francisco, and I got on a plane and went to Seattle.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, peace, bitch.
Yeah.
But I couldn't leave her because she was like a mess.
Yeah. Well, that's very nice of you.
And also, I wasn't ready to leave. I was like, I know this is probably not going to continue. But I also don't want to just walk out of your apartment into downtown Reno and be like, now
where's
what do
Jeff?
I? Yeah. I mean, fuck, can you imagine? What if that was my story? I would not be here. If I just walked out of the apartment, went to NBC.
You saw him? Beat the shit out of him?
Like live on the air?
Yeah.
And I'd still be in Reno jail right now?
Ugh. For some girl you probably would have never ended up with anyways.
Come to the Laugh Factory, see you guys. One day, I was supposed to do that one day.
Oh my so God. Impressive.
Develop that accent. And, what was I saying?
You were saying, let me think.
So she,
what were you saying about, no, before you brought her
up? Oh, yeah,
up,
so
though.
We broke up. And then in 2007, I was like, all right, now I have no excuse to not jump into this full time.
Okay.
And then stand up. And so then it was like working at this casting office for 5-6 days a week for free, working at Universal.
For free?
Yeah. Just to get experience and just to be.
Did they give you auditions and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
It was a great experience. They cast like, you know, Forgetting Sarah Marshall and Zoolander and The League and they're one of the big comedy places right now. Jeannie McCarthy casting. Nicole Aguilera and
that's great.
And so it was a great experience. And yeah, I mean, you're an intern, and then it'll be stand up at night, open mics, and then like. Just really doing, like, trying to be as busy as possible so that I didn't feel like I wasn't trying to, you know.
And 2007 was the first TV gig you got.
Did
you have an agent at that point?
Yeah, I had an agent that was a kid agent. And then, I had an agent that wasn't really doing much.
Mm-hmm.
And then a friend of mine referred me to her kid's agent. But they had like a theatrical department, but they were like, this woman was like, I'm going to hip pocket you, which she's basically like,
yeah.
I'm going to submit you for stuff. And
but like not actually sign you and then just see what happens.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so then the According to Jim thing happened and it was like, you know, this guest star, this like 3-scene guest star for like.
That's a great gig.
It was dope.
It wasn't even a co-star. It was
it was dope. And they basically had seen all these people and they didn't like anybody. So then it got to like that next round of like, all right, well now we'll see the people like these lower level agencies.
Yeah.
And I went in and was just, you know, got it. And then, I remember I got it.
That's pretty cool.
And my mom
you were
was
like,
in
suck
town.
It, Jeff.
Oh, dude.
I'm on TV.
Suck it, Jeff. And then I was like, here we go. According to Jim, the world's my oyster. And then, like, you know, what, seven years later until.
Did you ever get, like, really depressed about it?
Not depressed, just I think I was, like, very aware of, like, you know, just how long this stuff takes. I think what it was tough to deal with, I think for anybody who gets a little bit of something and then, because for so many years, you have all these like friends and family that are just so removed from the business.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go home or even they like, they're checking online, they're like, if I haven't seen you on TV or you're not famous, like, are you really doing this? Because they have clue like what we're doing.
Like, what are you doing out there?
They're like, oh, so you're doing a show. Like, is it for a showcase? Like,
yeah.
No, man, I'm putting in like all the work right now because like it takes time. You don't just, you know, you might think I was funny from high school, but I don't just come to LA and be like, you know,
I was really great in high school.
Yeah, yeah. That's not how it works. But people think that. I guess maybe a little depressed. I mean, I've gotten bummed out here and there, but.
Well, I think stand-up helps because at least you get to do something every night if you want to. I mean, you don't have to, but like, yeah, if you want to work on your craft, you can get up and do it every night.
Man, stand-up is kind of like a saving grace. Like the times I've been so bummed and also to have like this for, again, like for cathartic purposes, but also, you know, how it can just kind of pull you out of any sort of rut. And also if you have a show, and that's why like I go back to like being busy. It was like, if I had some audition and instead of like sitting around and waiting, putting all my eggs in that basket and being like, God, I hope I get that job. I was like, oh, I got to go work on this video that I'm shooting tomorrow.
Yeah.
I got to get everything together for that. Or I got to keep writing for the open mic I'm doing tomorrow. So it was like having other shit to distract me from thinking about just one thing.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, maybe it's a blessing and a curse to spread yourself too thin, but that's just what worked for me not getting super like depressive.
I think you have to do that nowadays. I don't think you can just be like, I'm an actor. I'm in LA. Like, really?
But some people do.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't usually work out that easily.
Look at the Vine and YouTube kids, man.
Yeah. Well, they get stuff though because they have followers. So that equals money, I guess.
Would you ever do that?
Like be a Viner or something?
Yeah. Or make like daily YouTube like vlog videos and.
I prefer podcasting over that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Why did you start this podcast?
Because I was doing, I would do my friends a lot, Stassi, who's on Vanderpump, and I really liked doing it. And I was like, well, that just seems fun.
Yeah.
So I just started it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I like it. Why'd you start yours?
Well, I want to ask you more questions about yours first.
Okay, fine. Go for it.
Have you always been, like you said recently, you're becoming a better listener when you date and stuff.
Yeah.
But were you always this, like, curious about people and, like... Like, you consider yourself a people person?
I hate small talk.
I sound
talk.
Like I'm interviewing you for a job at Target.
I was like, I hate small talk. Like, I don't really need to, like, meet someone new and make small talk.
Yeah.
But if I'm interested in them and I think that they're doing something great or if... Not even if they're doing something great. If they're just, like, an interesting person or if I feel like they've, like, seen shit or been through... I like hearing people's stories.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of dating now, I mean, I'm older. And so I don't feel the need to just make it the Rachel show. I'd rather like get to know them and let them embarrass themselves if they want to.
I mean, that's the best.
You know?
What is your most embarrassing, not dating story, story?
I was like, I have an embarrassing dating story.
Do you? All right, let's get to that first.
I went on a date when I was, well, I've already said this on my podcast, but
okay,
it was probably
I don't make
one.
You rehash.
No, but it was probably one that a lot of people haven't listened to because it was just one of my friends was in town. And I went on a date with this like celebrity when I was like 20, early 20s.
Wow.
And I was like.
Can we say his name?
No. And,
can you mouth it to me right now?
I already told you who it was. And.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Whoa. So this was like in my early 20s. Was, like,
that's
22.
A big deal.
And I'd seen this in a movie or something. I just thought maybe I'd be cool. And he was like looking at me a lot. And I was like, you're not going to fall in love with me, are you? That's what I fucking said to him.
Wow.
Like a psychopath.
Look at you.
I think I saw it somewhere. And I was like, I'm just going to be overly confident.
Yeah. Yeah, you saw it in a movie or a TV show.
Probably.
For sure.
Yeah.
And what was his reaction?
Not much. I think he just thought I was weird.
Yeah. And you know what? I know how I said I wasn't going to say the name, but we can say it. Larry King. And what's great is that you and Larry still keep in touch because I saw.
Oh yeah, we're having
when
a great
I came
time.
In your apartment, you were FaceTiming him. Which.
Oh yeah. Well yeah. No, Larry's still
this,
at it. Yeah.
He's still at it. Yeah. Just looks way better on TV than he did on your FaceTime. I don't know if it was like.
Well, suspenders are. You know.
Yeah. Well, suspenders help. Like
they
you
help.
Didn't have
I
anything
mean, yeah.
on, which
yeah.
is like.
Well. You
but
know,
that's just how
well, that's Larry. That's Larry.
That's Larry being
Larry.
He does
Larry. That, yeah.
He's a nude FaceTimer.
It's so us, yeah. you know. We do
gross.
That.
Now I'm going to think about that and your hand tonight.
That's so me. So,
oh, your hand's perfect. Okay, so keep going. You and the celebrity.
No, well, I'm just saying that's how weird I was. And then.
That's as weird as it gets?
Well, no.
You said don't fall in love with me?
That's so embarrassing.
I guess.
Well, I texted someone.
But also, I went keep on, this in mind. Huh. If you're a dude. And a pretty girl comes up and goes, "Don't fall in love with me." Like you're at least you're intrigued after that. You're like, "Who was that?"
What a ballsy 22-year-old.
For sure. So embarrassing.
Or drunk. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. Oh man, the first drunk celebrity I ever saw. Well, the first celebrity I ever saw in L.A. I was hammered. It was at the Saddle Ranch, and Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson were together and sitting in a booth at the Saddle Ranch on Sunset.
Them. And I wish they were still together.
I lose sleep over it every night.
I took it pretty hard.
That was a big one.
Yeah,
as far as like breakups go,
that
were like
that was when I still watched TV.
Dude, that was when TV was like we hadn't totally gotten sucked up into the internet yet, right?
No, and that was like the early stages of reality TV.
Reality TV. So you were like, oh my god, we get to see a glimpse into their lives, and the only way you can get it is on TV.
Yeah, it was pretty great. Man, so, anyways, what did you do to Nick
Lachey
and Jessica
Simpson? Rest in peace, 1998.
Please don't tell me you hit on her.
No, I just walked up and I go. you know, it's like I first time seeing celebrities like live. I'm like, this is crazy. So I just walk up and I just end up standing like right in front of them and like not saying anything and just staring.
Yeah.
And then Lachey goes, "What's up, so man? Weird. You good?" In typical just like dude fashion of like.
Yeah. Like, go away.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You're scaring us.
And he was, you know, at least he didn't just say like, you know, fuck off, man. But he was like, "Are you all right, man?" Because I was like swaying and staying just, there and like, yeah. And then I just point at them and I go, "You guys. Great." And just like held out a point at them, like just drunken point. And I remember she kind of laughed, and then he kind of like looked at a security person behind me and like gave a little nod.
Did you get escorted out?
Yeah.
Because all you said was you guys are great?
Yep.
That's mean.
Yep. So that's
why. Nick's kind of a dick.
Today I own the
that's
URL.
That's why 98 Degrees didn't work out.
Thank you. I put a curse on them. I was like, hope they break up.
Sucks.
I own the domain name www.fucklachey.com. Which, you know.
I'm pissed that he sounds like an asshole.
I mean, that was years ago. I hope he's changed. He's not with her anymore, right?
No, he's with, Vanessa Manillo. God, I know way too much.
Is that her name?
I might be making that up. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't confident about it.
I feel like you have a stack of, like, OK magazines.
I actually, to be perfectly honest, I used to pay attention to shit. Maybe this is, like, in 98 was when I did. I don't know anything now. I don't even watch TV. I just listen to music. I think I have like a phobia of watching TV.
I don't watch.
Like
TV
I don't know what
either.
To.
Is that bad? I watch like sports.
I think it's bad for what we do for a living. Apparently,
and there's a few shows that I like jam with,
I
and then
anything.
It's not bad. I mean, yeah, you got to know what you're going
I
in
just
for.
Just listen to Bob Seger and
are
drink
you a big
cocktails.
Seger? Oh my
love
god,
Seger.
You're so old fashioned.
I love Seger. He's
What's
an angel.
What's your favorite Seger song?
Probably "Roll Me Away."
How's that go? Do you
I'm
sing?
Not, no, I can't
you sing.
Sing
karaoke.
I have a terrible voice.
But do you sing karaoke?
I will.
That's
but it's not going to be enjoyable for anyone.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the musical improv day at Second City is the worst day of my life.
Oh my god.
It's fucking terrible. So you're telling me I have to improvise a song and also sing and I can't
and
sing.
And sound good? Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's
I just ask if you have a karaoke go-to and if you at least jump into it because once you make things awkward at the dinner table in front of my folks when you're
then
like,
you
is
karaoke?
That Holocaust? And you're like, did you just pronounce the Holocaust the way you would pronounce challah bread? Like, we're going to need to, like, change location, change the vibe.
Change the vibe,
get some
yeah.
tunes involved.
All right.
And if you're going Seeger and you're
it
singing
could be
Seeger.
Let me think. It could be Seeger. What else would I
what
do?
What would you bring the house down with?
It could be Zeppelin. I could also
if you're
do
trying
Zeppelin.
To get out of some anti-Semitic, like, you know, connotations, how do you... Zeppelin? You
maybe
are, like,
Zeppelin.
Super, like...
Oh, I love classic rock.
Yeah.
I think that...
You're a Fogerty fan?
Love Fogerty.
Come on.
I mean, I'm...
Creedence all day. And all night.
I mean, I think that if I wasn't... I think I became a comedian because I didn't have a good voice. I wanted to be an old man classic rock star. I'm also not a man.
Oh, my God.
And not born in the... I know.
Yeah, but you love that.
I love it so much. What, like classic rock?
Yeah.
I love it so much.
You just love like the gritty voices and like what they're singing about.
And I'm good around an old man. I think that there might be, I think maybe in my past life I was an old rock star. I'm great in a room with old men.
That's amazing.
And not in like a creepy way. Like,
no,
they don't
I didn't
hit
tell
on
you
me.
Like that.
It's more just
how
like.
How old?
70
and up, right?
No. I'm thinking like 50s, you know, where like they were like in high school and that music was popular. Yeah. I can drink with them. Wait, we have the same taste in music.
Have you been on the road or just in some bar where this has been the setting and these guys, like, you?
Oh, yeah.
And you're just what? I mean, because
it was half of the Goo Goo Dolls and half of Journey, but
yes.
it wasn't Steve Perry. It was his bootleg version of him 1 year, they keep changing the lead singer. I partied with them one time in LA. Just, we sang Don't Stop Believing at a club.
Of course you did.
Yeah, it was so awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm great with old men.
I mean, put that on the resume.
I think when I'm, now that I'm single, I might end up dating someone like Bob Seger.
You definitely will.
Just for a couple months.
No, we're going to see you on the clubs with like a 56-year-old dude.
I think so.
Who, you know, looks like 40.
I don't see why not. He doesn't even have to look 40. I don't care.
He can look 56,
I like his soul.
Huh?
Yeah.
I like his soul. You're adorable. I like his soul. Yeah. No, look.
Clearly, I don't discriminate.
Is there a cutoff for you though?
Age wise?
56.
Oh,
is
I'm
out
not
there.
Gonna date like a 56-year-old accountant. But,
a 56-year-old
would I date Bob
former
Seger?
Rock star?
Yes.
Oh my god. Is he on your list?
No, I mean Bob Seger, he doesn't
Did you
Bob
have that
doesn't
list?
Move so well. He's pretty old. I mean, he's no Mick Jagger who like still prances around like
yeah.
He's 73. I might actually date him.
You gotta stretch.
Yeah, you gotta stretch.
Right?
Yeah, you gotta be agile.
I feel.
Well, those are English classic rock stars. The American
yeah,
ones got kind of fat, except for
sure.
Bruce. He's in great shape. I'd definitely date Bruce.
It. Come on, who wouldn't?
He still has abs.
At 59?
I don't know. He's old.
Look at Madonna. She's 119, and she's still crushing
she's
it.
She's too muscular. She freaks me out.
You know, she said she's going to... Did you see her... I mean, you don't watch TV, but I think this even clip was on Facebook. I've been just consuming the like political clips in all forms and fashions because it's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's like legitimately terrifying.
Did you see that that Daily Beast article Nikki Glaser posted on Instagram? Oh Jesus! It's one of the most disturbing things I've heard about Donald Trump yet.
Does it talk about all the executive orders that he like signed off on today?
No, it's
I won't depress you then.
Oh no, it talks it's
about like women's rights stuff and
it's a real deposition from his divorce from Ivanka Trump.
Oh,
and it's
from her.
It's gruesome.
Yeah. Oh, everyone who, the amount of people that I've heard first and second hand that worked for him or been around him are all like, oh, he's the worst person on the planet.
Yeah.
And this is fucking nuts.
It's terrifying.
It's the closest I've been to like out of body experiences, like
yeah,
being sober, where
yeah,
like sometimes I watch it and I go.
Not being on my porch doing a kickball change, or my, whatever it is.
Step ball change. It's okay.
No, there's a kickball change.
Is there?
My friend, I know this.
Is
yeah,
there a kickball change?
Yeah, there's different variations of ball changes.
Oh my God, what a great
a
sentence.
Kick, you can do a step. You can add your own flair to it if you want.
I think, you know, I could have been doing a kickball change, but I was so fucked up. And what if the guy across from the way was like, is that a step ball or a kickball?
I can't quite tell.
Yeah.
But you got spunk, kid. That's a callback to being a fat kid.
Yeah, it's a great term. That's fat kid personality.
Mm-hmm.
That's what spunk is.
Mm-hmm.
Fat kid personality.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You got gumption. You're going to go places.
Gumption also sounds like something you would eat. Another fat kid personality
yeah,
description.
Or something you would say to someone that was in Vietnam. He's got gumption. Which is like a 70s term.
You love the 70s.
Or was Nam in the 60s? I said Nam like I was there. Oh,
you
I love
really
it.
You really did. And you like squinted your eyes like you saw crawling through the bunker.
That's so embarrassing.
Like off your bike.
I think I was meant to live then.
I think you were too.
Yeah, but
we'll
as a man, not a girl. Anyways, this is what I say on first dates. It's very appealing.
What
to guys?
That you were born?
No.
Well, can you imagine?
It's like I was meant to be a man.
That's actually like, there's, but you know what? There's statements like that where you can like get a gauge on the guy early on.
Yeah.
You're like, let me see.
Yeah, is he
remember that show,
weird?
Blind Date?
Was it on MTV?
No, it was Roger Lodge hosted. It's where they had the thought bubbles. On TV. Remember people go on
kind
dates?
Kind of. Yeah.
All right, well, then this story's not going to
well,
be good.
I do. I have started saying really weird things on first dates just to see how people react. I used I went to drinks with someone on Sunday, and when I got home, we were talking a lot about classic rock, as I do, and he had sent me this Prince video. We were talking about that, and then I needed to tell him like I was going to go to bed soon because I'd taken NyQuil. And from that point on, I used AIDS and Bill Cosby in the same stream of like four texts, which was a lot.
Damn.
I made a Bill
Cosby. Is
that NyQuil
talking?
No. It was just, I just didn't give a fuck. I just thought it would be funny.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, he was like, oh my God, NyQuil. Like, that's like, oh, you must be really sick. And I was like, I mean, I don't have AIDS. Like, why I said that, I don't know.
For sure. No, but you were trying to give him like some,
yeah,
you know, clarity on where you were coming from.
And then I said, I'll be sleeping like a Bill Cosby date in a few minutes, though. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, nice. Good for you. And to which he said,
he laughed. Yeah, he laughed. But like, this is someone
you have to, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. I've scared him, I'm sure. Yeah.
And have you received texts back since?
No. But,
it's whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was more just a thought experiment at that point.
Fuck. It's dangerous to text on NyQuil.
I know. I had just taken it. I was just doing that just because I thought it was fun.
Oh, that was still just sober, Rachel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was just, yeah.
Have you had some really crazy drunk text exchanges in the last 2 weeks?
I don't really text drunk.
No.
No. I say weird things sober.
Yeah.
Just for effect.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was on a date, and then I think he wanted to hook up, and it was like gesturing to things. And I was like, all right, we get it. You got a big dick. We're all with you, buddy. Like, this is how, things I say
nice.
To people.
Good for you.
Like, what a weird thing to say.
No, you're being honest.
I was like, we get it. Like, let's relax a little bit.
Oh, man. Was he just like coming on strong with like...
Kind of. He was. Yeah, and I was just... Yeah, just thought I'd make fun of him.
Good for you.
I assault people.
Is there a... girls know pretty quickly, right? Like on dates and stuff.
What, if they like someone?
Yeah, or if they're going to, you know, hook up with a guy.
I guess, I mean, again, I'm just so newly dating.
Like, I read that in Home and Garden that women...
Home and Garden?
Yeah, I have a subscription.
You do not.
You know, I'm trying to open up and you're laughing right in my face. This is really disconcerting.
I'm sure that they do. Again, this is all new to me.
It's like they
and
know
I'm just
like
trying not
seconds.
To feel things, so I don't know. Just trying to...
That's your motto for 2017.
Yeah, just getting out there.
Yeah, but they don't know. Early on, it's like it's whatever I saw it, and it was like maybe it was like some show, and the girl's like, "Oh, we know within like 4 seconds." Like,
She sounds like a moron. She doesn't always know.
Yeah, that was my mom. So she was being interviewed on the Queen Latifah show.
Sorry.
Remember when Queen Latifah had a show?
Yeah, I like Queen Latifah.
Fuck yeah! Who doesn't like the Teef?
The Teef.
Nobody calls her that.
No, yeah, I've never heard that. Do you know on a first date if you like someone right away?
For sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how do you tell? It's just they're not a moron. What's your criteria? What are you looking for in a woman besides
humor.
Jewish?
No, Jewish is, we don't even need that.
Oh, okay.
I'll pretend I'm not Jewish if I like you that much.
I didn't think you were, so.
Yeah. So sense of humor is big.
Okay.
Eyes.
Okay. Specific eye color? Like, I mean, everyone likes
like,
blue and green
eyes.
Like, those are a blast.
Just pretty eyes. Like, yeah. Eyes, like you want to, like, I mean, if you're going to talk to somebody and you want to look them in the face, like, I want to enjoy the face I'm looking at.
I actually don't like light eyes on guys. I don't trust it. Although I've dated a lot of guys with light eyes. There's something about it I don't like.
That sounds like a Bruce Springsteen lyric.
Probably was.
Or
I probably just straight up stole it.
You, like, you speak in, like, old 70s classic rock lyrics.
Oh, 100%.
I dated guys with light eyes. What a different time that was. Now I got a Persian couch and a Persian mirror.
My couch is not Persian without the mirror behind it.
Oh my
it's a
God.
Tasteful couch.
Another classic.
It was
rock
also very expensive.
Lyric.
Paralyzed guy bought it. What is wrong with me? He has a
Paralyzed
name, Rachel.
Paralyzed guy bought it.
I'm such a fucking monster.
No, you're not. You're fine.
We were dating when it happened.
Was he paralyzed guy in your phone, or did you give him his real name in your phone?
I dated him for 2 years. We lived together. I thought I was going to marry him.
Oh,
no,
my
of course.
God.
Yeah, I loved him. He was a blast.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he was a good time.
How is it romantically with all that?
It still works.
Great.
Depends on...
you just get creative, and you adjust, right?
Yeah, you adapt.
Guess what? Your positions are limited, but maybe those
so
other
what?
Positions are overrated.
Maybe. Maybe
definitely
I like
not,
being on top.
But
I don't know.
For sure.
Yeah.
All the time.
Maybe it was a blessing. Maybe a son.
Would you ever get like, he could still drink, right?
Oh, and boy did he.
Oh, shit.
He was a blast. We had so much fun. He used to gamble a lot, too. We'd go to Vegas a lot. He was the type of gambler that was probably not good for him.
Would
but
he ever, like,
get a lot of free shit. It,
if you guys ran out of cash, he'd be like, oh, sell my chair. And like, be like, all right, that's crazy.
Apparently, he never ran out of cash. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. It's a good time. I've lived a lot of lives. Anyways, wait, so what else besides nice eyes?
Nice eyes, lips, sense of humor.
So mostly physical features. Sense of humor.
No, sense of humor. Sense of humor is huge. And look, every girl I've ever dated has been
tall,
very smart.
Thin,
boobs. No. You can have boobs, but I mean, you know.
Can have them.
I mean, you should have them. I'm saying, like, versus, like, you know how people are like, you boobs a buck. I'm like, you set me up with a torso. Why do I have to pick? Like, can I? I think, you know,
don't have to choose.
Sense of humor and intelligence is huge, but also I don't need you to be a scientist. Like, who wants that? Who wants
yeah.
But I also love, and look, I've been very opposed to, like, you know, full on trying to date somebody in the business because I'm so curious about, like, there's so many,
like other people's
jobs.
Lives.
Yeah. So, like, I want somebody, like, I dated a girl who was, you know, in clinical psychology, which, you know, ended up being a little.
She'd be analyzing you a lot.
A little bit. I would say things like, stop treating our relationship like a class, which goes over really well.
That I don't think I'd want to date someone with that job.
Yeah, the news reporter. That
I'd
was
be
a
like,
cool
yes,
world.
I'm an alcoholic. We get it. You know, I know it myself. You don't need to
for
diagnose
sure.
me.
But then, like, you see, like, the people that do date people in the business, and like, oh, I guess you have that common understanding
yeah.
of it, so maybe it's easier. But
I think it's probably hard in comedy, though.
Also, very kind people. Like, somebody that, like,
yeah.
you don't have to be, like, super tight with all your family, but, like, that's because that's very important to me. And I want to, like, be able to, yeah.
Yeah.
And just compassionate and, like, kind, like, you'll give, you know, like, doing random acts, of, like, you know. Like, man, I was in Connecticut last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, 5 in the morning, and we were getting picked up to go to the airport. And there was this family, this woman, this aunt and her 5 kids. Her 5 nephews and nieces, and her sister was, like, out gambling or whatever. And she was, and they're all talking, and these kids are in this coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, I want to get a sandwich. I want to get a sandwich. And then she was like, she's like, that's $5. Do you have enough money for that?
Mm-hmm.
And they're Asian. And and so, it was a very sweet black family. And and they were very, like, vocal about not being able to afford everything they were trying to get. And I was just like, I turn around, and I go, what do you guys want? I go, you guys want sandwiches or whatever? And I was like, it's all on me. And then they were just kind of looking at me, like, very, like, confused. And I was like, and I go, oh shit, did I just make it weird? And then the aunt was like, check, are you sure? And whatever. And then, like, they all got all this stuff.
That's so nice.
And it was, like, really cool. And, like, and then I just talked to them all, and then, like, stayed there for, like, another, like, 30, 40 minutes and talked to all the kids. And it was like, it was really dope. And it was like, I've been on dates with girls where I'm like, oh, not that you have to do stuff like that,
yeah,
but like where you can just tell when somebody's like not even
paying attention to,
or they don't, yeah, they don't even have exactly, like, just to be in a space where you can, like, recognize something like that and not have to do it, but, like, you know,
just not only thinking about yourself.
Yeah I think that's what it is.
It's hard in LA, I think, to find those
for
people.
Sure, like, some of these, I mean, I'm sure you've, you know, been out with guys that are just so, like, egocentric, where you're like, oh man. And obviously what we do is very, like, putting yourself on display on,
yeah,
I mean, you know, whether it's podcast, stand-up, social media, like, we're very much like, hey, look at my shit, you know, but
yeah,
but not all the time. And
I think most comics are pretty empathetic people. You have to be. You can't be a comic and not be empathetic. You have to be able to feel, you know, other people's, like, situations and emotions,
yeah,
be able to talk about it.
And you got
to
be able to relay
comics
what you're talking
are crazy about. But for the most part, they're nice people. I think
so.
I like them. Never dated a comic, but I mean,
we're so in tune with what we're talking about, and you have to, like, have some emotional attachment to it, right?
Yeah,
to
you be can't able to, just. Well, you're not going to be good then if you're just making fun of a subject and not even feeling anything about it.
Yeah, I feel like we're like, this is like the stand-up comedy class. The way you just, like, leaned forward and said that
did
to me,
I?
Like, yeah, it was very, like.
Well, maybe I'm trying to, like.
Have you taken a stand-up comedy class?
I actually did before I even did stand-up. I'm someone that likes to take a class.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste 2 years at open mic telling, like, fucking, I don't know, blowjob jokes.
Was that one of your first jokes?
No, I don't find it funny. I don't find it funny when girls only tell, like, sexual jokes. I just don't think they're funny.
Also, who wants to hear about your sexual escapades when they don't even know you yet? You know?
Yeah, I just think it's like a cheap way to get a laugh or like make people uncomfortable or shock value.
Yeah.
So.
What are you talking about currently?
My broken hand is one thing. Newly dating, but I'm really trying to avoid being like that stereotypical, like, I'm so slutty. Because, well, I'm also not slutty. But like, I just don't like that shit. So I'm talking about dating, but without going into that kind of thing.
But also it's like, you know, don't feel too like apprehensive to, like, that's, you know, you're going to bring your point of view to whatever it is, like,
yeah,
even though it's a topic that's obviously been, like, you know, touched on multiple times, like, you're bringing your perspective to it.
Yeah, no, that's true. I don't know. I want to have like a slightly different brand of comedy than a lot of other people, or I'm trying to at least, but it's also not really what I think. My brain doesn't think like that.
I read your blog. You want to be the Whoopi Goldberg of white chicks. And I think that's like,
I think that's really great.
Inspiring. Yeah. I think it's like uplifting.
Yeah. Still trying to grow out those dreads, but you know, you can't win them all quickly.
Imagine you with dreads.
I'm not cool enough.
What if you just made that choice and you were like, this is me now, guys?
So not cool enough to even.
It's a comedic choice. It's not even for laughs.
Just. I'm not. I couldn't rep it. I'm too dorky.
Who are you?
Well, I'm just.
Are you one of those pretty girls that's like, I'm such a dork?
No, I'm not a dork. I like Star Wars and shit. No. I'm just being like, I don't have like I don't have
Bob
like
Bob Seger over Boba Fett.
I don't have like street cred or swag or I don't know. I'm not like hip hop dancing in the club. Is that what they do?
Yeah, you are. Is that what they do? Psych. Cut to you like at a club 2 weeks ago.
I'd be tap dancing.
What?
Well, yeah.
That's maybe a funny video you should do.
Really? Like, tap dance in a club? Maybe.
Yes, you should like get in like a really like, you know, revealing outfit, go to a club, get on the floor to where people think you're about to just break it down. And then just full on tap.
Or maybe I'll do that.
But you have to have it like tied in with the DJ and everything to where like a spot goes on.
Yeah.
And like you somehow get people to have people with you that like clear the dance floor to make it seem like you're about to break it down.
Yeah, it's
about and there's a dude with you too. So the people go like, all right, these people are about to like fucking, you know, like middle school dances. There was always that one couple that was like, oh, they've been fucking since fifth grade.
They're disgusting.
And now they're showing us how they started.
Yeah.
Basically by like mime fucking during Casey and JoJo. And you're like, are there no parents here to stop this? And
then we have chaperones?
Yeah, and there's two in the back, and they're making out. And
that wasn't us; that we were fat kids.
Yeah, no. And I don't know. We were hitting the vending machine.
Yeah, it was like, why are the Doritos coming out? Yeah. Where are the Cool Ranch Doritos?
They unplugged it during the dance because they knew fat kids would lose their minds. So
they wanted us to socialize
and dance and move and sweat.
Yeah, get in shape.
Drop lbs. Yeah, and so. And so,
I should do that though.
Yes. But so you get the guy and then people respect that there's like something happening.
Yeah.
And then also people will clear out the circle.
Like it's going to be like Step Up 7.
I mean, I haven't seen 5 or 4.
I don't know if I've seen any of them, but I know that it's how Channing Tatum has a career. Ups? I don't know. There's several.
There's been a lot of things I've said on this podcast where like if you would isolate the sound, like that sound bite, like hearing myself just go, there's been 7 step ups and mean it. Like,
like so, I was like, very like you feel left out. Yeah. Yeah. Like, no one told me. No one told
I've been sitting here waiting to find out about 1 through 6. There's been 7 step ups. Jesus Christ.
That's how Channing Tatum and Jenna.
That's who's in that movie?
Jenna Duel? I don't know. I am saying so many pop culture facts, and I never know anything. It's like
I think you know more than you're letting
on. I think I know stuff that happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
No, I really don't know a lot.
No?
No.
What do you know who played Kelly Kapowski on Saved by the Bell?
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Great.
It's only because that's Jacqueline's like favorite thing ever.
Is what? Saved by the Bell?
Yeah. And Tiffany Amber Thiessen because she looks like her.
That's a great show.
Yeah. I was like, well, I know things that were back in the day. You just made a reference from, I mean, if you said something more relevant now, I probably wouldn't know it.
Do you only have reference knowledge for like classic rock and like stuff from the 90s?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't watch any of my favorite show.
What a great show.
Joe Cocker sang that intro song.
Wow. You think they'll ever remake it?
I hope so.
You really should.
Well, big fan.
Joe Cocker crushed that theme song. And by the way, you don't get theme songs like that anymore.
No, you don't.
Like American Idol's theme song. Like, you used to have all these theme songs.
Save money.
It used to be like long. I mean, what? Like all that shit. Now American Idol is just. Bing.
Yeah, it's just.
That's their theme song.
Well, because DJs became popular. Because people would just hit play on a computer. Fuck.
Wow, shots fired.
Should we end this? It's a minute, or it's an hour 30.
Oh, that's long, huh?
I'm going to do my sponsor on another one. I don't feel like doing it right now.
No, let's do it. I'll do it with you.
You think? I'll have to edit out me saying, like, let's do the sponsor.
Or do you not want to?
I think I'll do it on another one.
Okay.
I have 30 days to do my make good on it.
You're fine.
Yeah. From January 19th to February 19th.
Wait, it's away luggage, though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I've used them.
You have? All right, fine. You're prompting
no,
me.
No, no, no. We don't have to.
No, I'll do it another one.
Okay, okay.
I don't feel like it. Well, thanks for doing
this. By the
this.
Way, let that be the ad for it.
Yeah, just like, ah,
should we
fuck
do
it?
It? I've used them. You have? Yeah. And then you just put that in a different podcast. They're like, look, Rach, we need you to give a little
yeah.
bit of
there
details.
There are 10 talking points you need
yeah.
to hit.
Tell us.
You
tell
didn't
people.
Even say your promo code. That's what I screwed up on last time.
Oh, no.
I didn't say there was
That's
a URL.
A key ingredient.
I said the promo code, but apparently you're supposed to say the URL/promo code and then the promo code again. I was like, that doesn't logically make sense.
It doesn't.
Whatever. Anyways.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you for doing this.
It's great that you're doing this. You're a great podcast host.
Am I?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're
a great,
great
podcast
comic.
Host.
Thank you.
You're a better comic than I, but I'm getting there.
Well, it's subjective, you know?
Is it?
Yeah, comedy's
yeah,
subjective.
There might be people that think I'm better than you.
Fuck yeah, there are. There probably are. That's how it works.
You shouldn't sound that shocked. There probably are.
There are
right, Adam.
There are people who think, my mom included, that I am not that funny.
Your mom doesn't think you're funny?
She thinks I'm funny, but like she has a lot of critique.
So does my mom. And a lot about my podcast,
and
too.
And that was a no way.
Oh, and she follows it. She's like, you just dropped down on the comedy charts. I was like, I don't care. She's like, you got a review that said that your sound's not good. I was like, why are you paying that much attention?
Oh, no.
Oh, she pays so much attention.
Because their parents, because at this point in their lives, like when we get to this age, like we're, like our lives are, not their lives, but it's like.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, yo, what did.
They're
you know,
like,
I
do something
once,
with yourself.
Yeah. Wait. Also, the podcast thing has got to be so overwhelming to them. Like they're.
Yeah.
Like
it, they
what a
like
cool
it,
medium
though.
For sure.
Yeah.
Did
no,
they listen to all your episodes?
Yeah, I mean, I don't love all of them, but I know they like it.
Have you had them on?
I kind of want them on, but I don't think they'll do it.
I feel like you need to have Mr. O'Brien on.
Oh, he'd be a blast.
Yeah.
He's hilarious. He's lost a lot of weight recently, and he'll just call me and be like, gotta put this shirt on, and I just hope it's not showing my muscles too much.
Shut up.
It just kills me, though.
So funny.
Oh, I love him. All right, well, thank you for doing this.
This was a blast.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Rich.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom. Blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.